This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Wayne County is in the midst of what's considered to be the largest municipal property auction in U.S. history. Some 30,000 properties are on the auction block, and it's estimated about 8,000 of those are occupied by individuals and families across Detroit. Michelle Oberholzer was shocked when she learned many of the residents of those homes often didn't know about the foreclosure or their opportunity to buy the homes for a cheap price. She founded a volunteer effort called the Tricycle Collective. They help residents of foreclosed homes try to save their homes. Michelle,
good to have you with us on the program
today.
Thank
you so much, Cynthia.
So this Wayne County property auction is happening in two rounds. Break it down for us. What properties are being auctioned and how is it done?
The way that it works is that according to state law, when a property falls behind in its taxes for 3 years or more, it must go into foreclosure. And so the Wayne County tax foreclosure auction now includes many thousands of properties which are behind in their taxes for that amount of time. And in round one of the auction, the bidding price will start at approximately whatever the value of debt was. That could range from $5,000 to $100,000 depending on the back taxes. And that is the round in which the treasurer is really trying to recoup what was lost. But most people do wait for round two of the auction in order to purchase a property because that is when, to put it in layman's terms, they take what they can get. Mm. And the bidding prices start at $500 rather than whichever larger sum of money it may be. This is a huge opportunity for everyone across the board, speculators and residents and renters who want to become homeowners, to purchase property in the city. It is also ripe for manipulation in another sense as well.
How so?
For one thing, the access to the information about the auction is not well distributed. So part of my work is really just in making sure that people, A, are aware that their very home is in the auction, and B, that they do have an opportunity to purchase it. And what is common knowledge among educated people who have regular access to internet is really not made clear to those residents. And there's another force at work, which is that because so many of these properties are rentals, it's not pure negligence. It's actually intentional misleading whereby a landlord would indicate to a renter who says, hey, I got this foreclosure notice, and they would say, don't worry about it. Keep paying my rent. I took care of it. I'm encountering people who are going to be using their rent check to put toward a purchase to the bid of their home, but they have been paying rent to someone who no longer owns the property, and they often feel very manipulated and misled and abused and taken advantage of, and it's very frustrating, but it is also empowering to be able to reverse that and to correct it with proper information.
And how are you doing that? You know, what are you telling people,
sure,
and how are you getting the word out?
Well, it's a very delicate thing to introduce to someone the notion that their home is in auction right now, in fact.
So you knock on a door and you may tell somebody something they had no idea.
Correct. And in most cases, they do not know, in my personal experience. So what I do is very much enabled by data and this publicly available information. I'm a heavy user of the website Loveland. Make Loveland, they're a local technology company in Detroit. And they collect information via survey and they do GIS mapping. And they also provide information not only on those properties that are in the auction, but on the condition of those properties. So what I do is I create a map and I pull from it those properties that are in the auction and that are occupied. And then I knock on doors. And I find that it's important to be delivering information. So we have created some basic canvassing material, which in no uncertain terms says, your home is in the auction, as far as we can tell. And then we proceed from there.
Meaning what? Proceeding from there means what?
Well, it means we tell them that there is a chance that someone could buy this home, and also there's a chance that that person could be you. And we want to make sure that you at least have the information to take advantage of that. The gaps of information and access and finances are going to still exist, but at least you now have this kernel of information from which to act and proceed from. So we also have a partnership with United Community Housing Coalition. They're a local nonprofit in Detroit that's been doing proxy bidding for years. They have helped thousands probably of Detroiters save their homes. So what they'll do is they'll bid for someone on their behalf. And in so doing, they remove a lot of those barriers of access to information. There's a $2,500 deposit required just to place a bid, even though the house might sell for less than that. So a lot of these things have the effect of just opting people out. And the real reason this is so troubling in Detroit is that uniquely in Detroit, foreclosure is heavily linked with blight, We have seen that. A study done by Loveland Technologies showed that of the occupied homes in last year's auction, one in six of those, so that's 1,000 properties that used to be homes 1 year ago, are now vacant. And who knows what happened to those people? And we do know what happened to the homes. And that's taxpayer dollars that are required to demolish those buildings. And it's a destructive force on the residents that stayed behind. And so it's so important in Detroit that we keep people in their homes if they're willing and able to stay. A lot of the narrative about Detroit currently is about the comeback and looking toward the past of all the problems that were had. And we really have this positive spin on things. But there is a counter element going on of currently active destructive forces, which include things like this foreclosure auction, which drive displacement, which drive blight, and make it so difficult just to have stability.
I was reading, I think it was the Huffington Post you did a piece for, and in it you noted there was a law passed that prohibits most owners from taking advantage of the auction. So can you help us understand what kind of options exist for these folks?
The law that I'm referencing stated that if you were the former owner of a property and you did not pay your taxes, mm-hmm. then you cannot take advantage of the auction by buying it back. And there's some logic to that. You don't want, as a government, someone manipulating the system.
Just perpetuating
it. Yeah, yes. Not paying taxes and only buying back for $500.
Gaming things.
Now, in my personal opinion, and I guess we'll see if this bears out, this is going to disproportionately affect owner-occupants and residents rather than those real estate companies and other groups that are currently doing that. I have not encountered an individual homeowner who chose not to pay the taxes, even though they could pay it, in order to buy their house in the auction. That is a huge risk to take for your house and home. It's something much more likely that a non-resident would do and say, well, if I lose it, at least, you know, I didn't pay too much out of pocket. And the other thing that can happen for an organization, they can just reincorporate. It becomes very difficult to trace the lineage of ownership. And the result is that now, yes, many owners, if their name was on the deed and on the public record, they will not be permitted by law to participate in the auction.
So how can you help those folks?
That's a great question that I've been trying to answer. And it may be possible that a family member or someone else who has a vested interest in that individual could purchase. For better or worse, a lot of people who didn't have their paperwork in order, and maybe it's what you might call a probate case where it's in someone else's name. I've often encountered someone who's, if I ask them, they'll say, yes, I'm the homeowner. But upon further searching, it's HUD or it says mm-hmm. taxpayer. So those failings of the paperwork can actually be a benefit in this case. But what we really need is a solution for those people to ensure that they are able to stay in their home through a legitimate means. And to the treasurer's credit, they have been issuing payment plans for a much longer period than they used to in mm-hmm. the past and at more agreeable terms than they did in the past. So that is an option for people that we have been pushing up until the auction, and now it remains to be seen what will happen to those who weren't able to get in a payment plan.
Give us an idea of the kind of story and the kind of owner or family that to you just typifies this problem.
Most of the people that I'm encountering now are renters. And in that instance, they often have no information about the fact that their property is in foreclosure or that they themselves could purchase it in the auction. We're starting at zero in many cases. The skepticism that one might normally offer to a stranger on a doorstep talking about home ownership quickly fades away in almost every case when people realize there's some real information here for me. That's wonderful. I appreciate people for even trusting me to have this serious conversation. But yeah, most of them do tend to be renters. And in most cases, it's an emotional interaction where they feel very cheated and desperate. There's this uncertainty that happens of, what if someone outbids me? And this one man was describing a mental image he got of his children's belongings being put out in the cold when we told him, you can expect to stay here at least until January, just feeling very unstable. And there is a narrative that I've heard that says, well, if you're the renter, you never own the home. And who's to say that you should be an owner? And home ownership is a big deal. And I do agree with that to an extent. I personally am not a homeowner. I'm afraid of a 20-year mortgage. But this type of home ownership is different. It does not come with that type of mortgage, and it can be actually cheaper than renting. And what we desperately need is people who have a vested interest in the future of the community to stay in these homes for the sake of the city and themselves, and to break that cycle of often manipulative landlord relationships or, you know, all of these things where there is just constant uncertainty about the future of someone's home.
You're in the middle of a fundraising campaign.
That's right.
Tell us.
So last year, we were able to support 10 families with a starting bid of $500 for them to buy their homes back. This year, we're trying to expand that. We are hoping to help 20 families buy back their homes in the auction with a financial contribution. I mean, our information outreach has been much broader than that. But we're trying to raise $20,000 in 20 days to help 20 families. We've increased the number of people that we're trying to reach out to, as well as the individual dollar amount, because there's another change in this year's auction, which is that in addition to whatever the final bid is, the new owner must pay the summer taxes. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we want all of our new homeowners to be paying their taxes and to figure out ways to do that, but to pay immediately and in full, especially when you're only just finding out about the auction, can be a burden. So we really want to help out with the financial contribution in those cases. And it would be such a shame for someone to lose the home for a difference of $100 or a couple hundred dollars. It's incredible the finality of the auction, you know, just with a click of a button, someone's fate is irreversibly affected.
And I know people can go to your website, thetricyclecollective.com, and find out about the fundraising campaign. I have to ask you about the significance of the name, the Tricycle Collective.
Yeah, well, that started for me. I became introduced to the tax foreclosure issue as a property surveyor, and I was just stricken by the different scenes of Detroit that I was seeing. There were vacant plots of land. They were empty, scrapped out houses, blighted buildings. And then they were lived in homes. And I was so proud as a Detroiter to see the well taken care of homes that we still have in the beautiful neighborhoods. And then I became immediately saddened by the thought that these are imminently under attack. And I can see the future of what this house might become because I just saw a vacant house down the street. And those that troubled me the most were the ones with tricycles in the front yard, with children's toys on the front porch, because those were indicative of homes that were childhood homes and, you know, a very fundamental part of the future of the children that lived there. And I myself moved as a kid to a bigger home in positive circumstances, and it was still a big impactful event in my life. I can only imagine those children being uprooted mid-year to an uncertain future. I ask all of the people who I work with, what will you do if you lose your home? And many times the answer is, I'll leave the city, or I don't know, or we'll be homeless. The destructive impact of a child of having that happen to them is huge. And we just so desperately need to have people who have the childhood memories of growing up in Detroit. We have a lot of newcomers here who may or may not stay to raise their families. It's so important to keep the children and the families intact within the city.
The website is thetricyclecollective.com. You can find out more about the effort, including the fundraising campaign, which runs until September 30th, thetricyclecollective.com. Michelle Oberholzer, thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Thank you.